Hello, this is Jeff Hayes with InfoTrends, and welcome to our webinar, A Tale of Two Implants. It's being sponsored by our good friends at Rochester Software Associates. And this is the second in a two-part series, and some of you may have joined us earlier in the year, where we heard from a couple of implants and some of their experiences implementing WebDeprint. We're going to hear how they've progressed over the last few months and share with you some of their experiences and hopefully help you learn a little bit. Before we get into the details, I just want to go through a few of the sort of housekeeping notes that we have. One would be if you have any technical difficulties, there is a Q&A box down below. You can type in a message there, and one of the administrative people may be able to help you. A common problem may be things related to pop-up blockers, so please check those kind of things. Also, if you have any questions for our speakers, there's a Q&A box there. Just type them in, and they'll queue up on our side, and we'll read them off later during the presentation. And it's a great opportunity to hear from one of your peers, so I encourage you to do that. So also, don't forget to share this webinar. We are certainly embracing social media and hashtag PIG webinar, or share it, the link itself to the material later on if you'd like to. So with that, we have a couple of great speakers, as I noted. One is Tasha Worrell, who's the manager at the UPMC Print Center Services out of Pittsburgh, and also Abbas Badani, who's the director of the Multimedia and Print Center at Penn State. So a couple of Pennsylvania folks here, and both of them are RSA customers as well. My name is Jeff Hayes. I'm the president of InfoTrends, and I'm going to share with you a little bit of our research that we've done with the implant community out there and kind of provide some comments and hopefully some context that Tasha and Abbas will be able to provide with their own personal experiences out there. So I'm going to give you some data, and Tasha will share with you her progress and what they see going forward, and then Abbas will talk a little bit about some of their implementation learnings as they've gone through this process and kind of bringing new software into their corporate organization. So that's our agenda for the day. And again, anytime you have a question, just type it in, and we'll be queuing them up and sharing them with our participants shortly. So kind of getting on to some of the research here, you know, InfoTrends does quite a bit of survey work with print service providers, but we also get out there and try to talk to print customers as well. And these are probably your colleagues within various departments, the marketing department, sometimes procurement and what have you. And one of the things I think it's very important to understand is that, you know, your customers are using Web2Print today. They just might not be using it with you if you don't have a system in place. In fact, our research shows, based on a large survey we did about a year and a half ago, that print customers indicated that about a third of their spending in terms of print was purchased through a web-to-print type of portal, and that their expectations was for that to grow to about 40% today. So that's literally a 25% increase, and that's very consistent with what we've seen in other research. And, in fact, if we look at the total value of print purchased in the United States, we see purchases made through web-to-print systems growing at about 10 to 12% per year, while non-web-to-print purchases are declining at 1 to 2% per year. So you really need to be where your customers are at, and especially your larger ones, and increasingly they are buying through web-to-print systems today. The other thing that we've seen out there in talking to printers, not just implant folks, but also the print-for-pay community, we're trying to get a sense of what some of their strategic business directions are. And if you look at this slide and kind of all the different categories that were cited, I kind of broadly break them into two groups. One are cost issues, and the other one are revenue or growth-related issues. And the first one there, the most commonly one cited by implants, are a focus on reducing costs and improving efficiency. So certainly there's a lot of budget pressures out there. Folks have a lot of scrutiny on their budgets. They have to justify everything. Management's looking for measurements, benchmarks. You need to make investments in automation, but you also need to be able to generate data to prove, you know, how effective your operations are. At the same time, there's a lot of desire to expand into new service categories. And you've got over 60% of the implants out there citing that one of their strategic business initiatives is to get new print applications or services going. You know, there's been downward pressure on print. There's a need to offer new services. There's a need to have greater reach throughout the organization. And even though you're a corporate resource, sometimes customers either don't think of you or they don't think of you for certain types of services. So to the extent that you can be a virtual presence in front of them potentially plays a big role in helping you to grow your volume. I think the other thing that we see, and this to some extent gets into some new non-print services, is really to serve as a sourcing hub for the organization. And whether you're doing the physical production work yourself or it's being sourced to an outside provider that has certain production capabilities, ideally that print customer would like to be dealing with one type of supplier. So, you know, web to print in our minds plays a critical role, both as a management resource to help you improve your efficiency, but also as a growth platform going forward. And, you know, this research here, we went out and talked to about 65 companies, implant print shops, that have implemented some type of web-to-print system. And overwhelmingly, they cited that web-to-print has made a significant impact on their operations to help make them more efficient. If you look at the most common strategic business initiative, improve efficiency, you look at what the most common thing implant shops with web print said, operational efficiency, clearly there's a connection there. And what's important now with these types of investments, they've got the data in terms of their operations to prove the improvements that they've made. The other thing I thought was quite interesting from this particular survey was you've got over 80% of the implants citing web-to-print as now being critical for my business. It really becomes sort of your hub for how you manage not only the jobs coming in, but increasingly connected with your other production management tools out there. It's sort of, in my mind, sort of like the Salesforce.com for the implant. You can sit there and really understand, you know, where the orders are coming in, from whom, what types of jobs, work on your scheduling, pricing, customer service, all the other aspects. It really becomes the hub for your business operations. And then the other point here I'll note is, you know, you get 77% of implants with a web-to-print system saying that the web-to-print has helped them develop new services. And certainly, in some cases, that's helped them attract additional print volume, bringing jobs back in-house in some cases, but also allowing them to expand to other services. Maybe it's variable data, maybe something related to digital asset management or archiving, or perhaps it's related to some type of multi-channel communication. So a lot of folks may implement it web to print for one reason, but they find over time there's a lot of other applications or purposes that they're using it for. So, you know, what's kind of the status out there in terms of implants and ownership of web to print? Again, this is a survey with 56 folks working at an implant. About 27% said they don't own any web-to-print software now, and they don't have any intention to purchase something in the near future. And, you know, my sense is these folks tend probably to be a little bit smaller, perhaps a little bit less sophisticated. But what would concern me, particularly if they're a medium to larger operation, is that the management of that operation is not forward-thinking. And those are the folks that are potentially the most vulnerable here and really need to kind of assess where they want to be a couple years down the road and what types of infrastructure do they need to be building. Now, you got 27% that don't own anything today but are considering making some type of purchase. And my sense is there's a few folks on this call that probably fall into that category here. The key here is to put a plan together and really work through what will be the business case for making this type of investments and how might you want to grow it over time. And I think when you hear from Tasha and Abbas, you'll probably have some more ideas for that. Now, if I flip over to the other side, 14% said they currently own some type of web print system, but it was more of a homegrown capability, something that either their staff or perhaps their IT department helped them develop. What we have generally seen with those homegrown systems is they tend to be fairly limited, kind of order entry only, maybe a display of some types of services. A lot of the implants, though, struggle with maintaining the development and kind of keeping it state-of-the-art, if you will, or at least up to par with some of the alternatives out there. And the reason for that, of course, is it's really not their core business. They're not application software developers. They're running the production operations and providing customer service. You know, you got to ask yourself, where do you want to spend your time and efforts? And what we're finding is that the folks that currently own a homegrown system are starting to migrate more to a third-party, you know, product from an independent software vendor. And, you know, from there, the focus really is about sort of tuning the system to your needs, phasing the implementation based on the type of capabilities you want to roll out, really focusing on the integration aspects with other business systems that you might have in place, building out things like templates and other tools that become critical for successful implementation. And I think the other thing I'll mention here, and it really depends on the company, but in many cases, if you're actually purchasing web-to-print or other types of software from a third party and there's integration and other costs, those things can be capitalized. And you should speak with your operations or finance department, and there can be some real advantages there in terms of making the investment and the way you do your accounting to using a third party versus just using, if you will, internal resources to build those things. So just a little food for thought there. Now, what's interesting here in this next slide is we asked implants across a variety of different categories what their intentions are. Do they offer services in these areas? Do they plan to expand them? Are they going to keep them at the same level? And, you know, within any company, there's just a lot of competition for resources. It's within your organization, you know, across all the various different business units and departments, but it's also even within your department. You've got to prioritize, are you going to put more into the mailing operation or web to print or whatever the case might be. And what's interesting here, if I look at the sort of the middle bars, in the case of web to print, it's 34% of folks saying that they offer it, but they intend to expand, 13% saying they're going to add in the this year, and 7% say next year. Tally those three up, that's 54% of the implants said they plan to either to offer or to expand their web-to-print infrastructure. And that was the single largest category of all the different areas that we tested. We tested about 20 different categories. These four or five here were the most common. You look at one-to-one or variable data printing, those same three items tallied to 44%. You look at mailing, barcodes, and fulfillment services, it was only about 30% of folks there that either plan to add or to expand those services. So we're really seeing, you know, a lot of companies prioritize web-to-print in terms of their next level of investment. They're able to show the ROI, both in terms of cost savings, but also in terms of incremental revenue or services that they're offering. So just a couple last slides here before I turn it over to Tasha. This one is regarding implementation challenges. Again, speaking to implant web-to-print customers, and, you know, you really want to go into this with your eyes open. These aren't excuses for non-implementing. They're just some areas or things that you probably want to anticipate as you get into it. And the top one, I thought it was quite interesting, that implant managers cited was a staff training-related issues. And, you know, let's face it, this is a new way of doing some business. It's different. There's some software you need to learn for. You may need to have a lead person. You've got to make some time for training, sharing best practices, things of that nature. The second thing, designing templates. And in some cases, there's an opportunity to cut down on the templates that you may have in place, or in other cases, to redesign them to take advantage of some capabilities or to get some better consistency around the organization. But time needs to be put into that as well. A third one, I think this is particularly important, especially if you're, you know, get security issues or you're trying to tie into billing systems or things of that nature, is the integration side of things here. And I think Abbas will be able to share some of his perspectives on that. And the last one I'll note are customer adoption and customer training. And, you know, with any new system or interface, you want to do some marketing. You want to get out there with some of your better customers. You might want to have some support tools, be it videos or little demos or have an open house or things of that nature to acclimate folks and make sure they have a successful experience and then, you know, kind of move on from that. You know, I think it's interesting to note that only 3% of the respondents said they had no challenges. So there's always going to be things when you do the implementation. You just got to go in with your eyes open. So my last slide here is just a few closing thoughts. Clearly, we see customers out there buying web to print. It's a high priority for them. Many of them are losing jobs today if they're not invested in web to print. And more importantly, they need to show the improvements in efficiency and ideally add some additional services to maintain their value to the organization. Web to print, I think, demonstrably will improve your operations. And it's not just sort of some analyst thing that you're going to hear from some of your peers out there, but certainly the research bears that out. There's great opportunities for efficiency improvements. There's also opportunities to add and extend the service offering that you have. And I would say, you know, now's the time to really be thinking about getting this into your budget, whether you have some money now that you can fund and, you know, some resources, or you got to do some planning, put your business case together. Start to identify some of the metrics that you want to be able to demonstrate improvements on, cost savings on, or incremental services. And as you go through that process, I would recommend don't skimp on things like training and templates, and certainly take into consideration things like integration. You're probably going to need to have a rollout plan that's going to involve IT or other key stakeholders like your marketing department. I think if you're not doing web to print now, it is something that should be vital to your future. And frankly, the longer you put it off, in some respects, the more vulnerable you're going to be. The sooner you get going with it, the more upside you have. So that's our perspective with some of our research. I'm going to turn it over now to Tasha Worrell, who is just a great speaker and had a lot of firsthand experience and management perspective on this. And I'd like you to, again, as you're hearing her talk, feel free to submit some questions, and I will cue those up, and we'll maybe put a few out there, and certainly at the end we'll have some time for Q&A. So, Tasha, over to you.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. A little bit about what I'm going to talk about is UPMC's journey from no web to print to where we are today, and then as well as where we plan to go with our web to print solution. A little bit of background on UPMC in case you weren't on the first call. UPMC is about a $10 billion revenue company per year. We have over 20 hospitals, about 55,000 employees. Our print center does about 11 million impressions per month, roughly. Last few months we've been pushing closer to 12 million, and we're continuing to grow. That 11 million is comprised of various types of printing. So we have what we call systemic printing, your one-to-one printing or transactional printing. That consists of checks, explanation of benefits, physician statements, letters to patients. All of that information comes through here, as well as our web-to-print solution handles all the more hospital-based, physician office-based, corporate marketing materials that are used and then mailed out. So we do a variety of printing, which kind of makes us unique to the healthcare organizations. Through our web to print solution, we do about 2,500 to 3,000 items per month. A lot of our orders have more than one item in them, but that's about the average number of items per month, and that's continuing to grow as we grow. The background from our web to print is it was developed several years ago, so we've had some time to work through the kinks of our web to print solution, and there are always kinks, there are always challenges. I'd like to meet the 3% of people that said there were no challenges, because I would love to bring them over here. And we've grown over the last 7 years, and it's been quite the journey, and there have been challenges with onboarding people, getting their support, with the software itself, understanding what we actually needed from our software. We bought the software first and then kind of figured that out. So we kind of did a little reverse, but we fixed it over the years. Also, over the last 7 years, we have developed a print governance committee, which is comprised of somebody from all the different facets of our organization and their inputs on printing and how it affects them. And this is a vital group to have in terms of our printing and our print center. They drastically support our print center tenfold, and it's something that we will continue to keep moving forward over the years. And we also consolidated all of our hospital print centers into one main print center. That being said, we're working on developing two hub print centers for our furthest locations, one up in Erie, and then we also have one now in Altoona. And from where we're located now, all of the central hospitals are consolidated to our main print center, but due to their location and distance from us, we're trying to build hubs, but in a much smaller capacity to handle the things that we just can't handle. And that's continuing to evolve every day. So the current state of our web to print is that we use it to implement and insource millions of dollars of external prints. We have developed our web to print solution to become our bidding tool. We have developed our price card and implemented that for automatic estimating whenever somebody places an order, so they know exactly how much it's going to cost. Also, we've developed ours to give them the option to see our price and then further on request a bid if they're not happy with our particular pricing. We are a one-stop shop for the entire organization in terms of what to print. In terms of printing, we try to be. There are a few other phases that we need to carry over. I'm not sure if you can see that screen, but there's envelopes, business cards, letterhead. A lot of stationery is currently done outside, but as we consolidate and become that one-stop shop, we bring each of these different levels over more and more. And we are very much involved, so a lot of people bring things to our attention that do not fall under our web to print. So it's really nice to have that and have their support. But we do organize everything into our web to print solution. That is the only way that we accept orders in our print center. We do not accept phone, email, fax, any of those orders. It all has to be entered through here. One of the other benefits, too, of having a web to print solution and having it all funnel through there is that we put the printing experts at the front of the process instead of the back end of the process. We have a lot of people that request very different, complicated requests that are pretty much unnecessary, and they don't understand the involvement that goes into producing something like that, like a print center operator or manager or somebody that lives in this world every day would understand. And we are fully 100% print on demand. We store no inventory. We do have one or two sheets in inventory, but that's because we go through about 50,000 of them in a month, and we store them for a few days, and then I'm printing some more. So I still consider that a very much print-on-demand model. And that has saved us a ton in waste, throwing things away. We've actually moved over a significant number of forms to reduce our waste. And the latest version of WebCRD that we upgraded to just recently allows us to have new cart features, a very robust homepage to direct people to, make it very clear for them to understand where to go. We're working on some new things as we move forward, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But the new cart features and implementing our price card was a really great step forward that we completed this spring since our February call. And the cost estimating is really nice now because end users – before we used to tell them, you know, just ignore that price, it's not right. And now we've actually got it pretty much locked down, so it's working very well for us. So success to date, one of the biggest things that we've noticed and that we've learned is to be involved in every department that you can. That is the biggest lesson learned, is to put your arms down, join the group, offer your insight, if it's little or big, monumental, offer it. Sit in on a few meetings if you can. We are involved in, we have our children's hospital, which is very unique. They have a lot due to their patient dynamics. They're all young. They have a lot of special requests. We actually have somebody here who sits on their forms committee once a month and is very heavily involved in that hospital. We also have somebody who sits on our Braille, an LEP, large print, and ADA documents group, understanding their needs for printing as well. We work very closely with our health plan. We have a liaison for that team. We have a systemic lead who handles all of our transactional printing, working with those customers day in and day out. Also marketing. We have somebody who works very well with our parking department. You name it, we sit on the group. If at all possible, we try and join as many as we can to understand their needs as well as how it affects our print center. We cleaned out our catalog. That being said, the more people we talk to, the more streamlining we try to get. And also being involved lets you connect other departments that might not necessarily talk to one another. So we actually just did an initiative with our corporate signage team that did not communicate to our marketing team on a few projects. We caught wind of it here and were able to connect those two. So being involved is extremely beneficial to the life of a print center and the type of work that you get in and understanding the work that comes in and how you may be able to better direct them. We cleaned out our catalog. We went from 8,000 to about 4,500 to 4,000 items. Our web-to-print solution offers an expiration date that we can set different levels for different departments. Forms from a healthcare perspective have to be monitored every year, if not more. Some departments can go 2 years without reviewing the data in their forms if they're not changing. So that expiration date is custom to each customer. and that's a wonderful feature for them to have. They like it as a reminder and something that they don't have to remember themselves. Our software does it for them. Our daily orders are up by about 20% each day. Printing in our organization, and I think in our industry, really is very seasonal. So we can always tell month over month how well we're doing. And you really have to compare month to month in our industry, because from June to July will be completely different in terms of volume. Our software allows for auto flow since we've upgraded. Our goal is to reach 60% of our orders to be auto flowed, meaning that instead of having a pre-press person have to have hands-on to the order whenever the order is placed by an end user, it goes straight to our production queue, which is QDirect, and then our production folks will pull it whenever there's an available printer available printer open. So that's actually one of our really good goals. It's significant in terms of time savings and volume. With as many orders as we get in a day, which is several hundred, you can imagine how long that takes somebody to push all those orders through to production. We're actually working on a storyboard for all of our data, and it's from 2009 until current date, how much we spent outside. A lot of our information comes from our heavy involvement with finance. Again, being involved is so key. Finance has given us all the data on who's spending what, who's doing what, where is it going, what vendor is it going to, what type of work is it. Is it design work? Is it printing work? A lot of that we've kind of had to figure out on our own, just in terms of who the vendor is and what services they provide. But finance has been key in providing that data to us. And that's valuable to know how to reach out to your customer, because maybe they're just using design, and we have a team of designers here in the print center on our pre-press team, so I can always send them out. But it's much better to send them out. It feels more personal when you actually know what they're doing versus guessing.
So, Tasha, can we maybe wrap up, and we'll maybe save a little bit of time at the end for some Q&A?
Sure. So our progress since February, we've been working with RSA to develop templates. A lot of this has come from outside sources. People are identifying things that we're not doing, like envelopes. We don't do envelopes currently. So we're working on a template for that, business cards. We use WebCRD for reporting for outsourced jobs and to identify organizational trends. You know, again, what type of things are we going out? Like, we've noticed since we started doing the bidding that we do a significant number of large format. We don't do large format at our print center, so that's actually something that we're working to bring in. It's something that we've learned through the discovery from our web to print and becoming first right of refusal. Marketing and next steps, communication, we do satisfaction surveys. Packets we've sent out to customers. We're working on a packet. That picture you see right there is the front of our packet. We've actually consolidated our paper stocks for our customers. We sent booklets out to them. And connection, our next step is to connect to our existing procurement sites so that even if they go to procure, you know, staples and folders, they can also order from our web-to-print solution at the same time or from the same location instead of having to go to a different location to print from us. So I think that's about it. Well, I guess we'll save some time and send it over to Abbas.
Great. So, Abbas, why don't you share with us some of your implementation activities and lessons learned?
Thank you, Jeff. Hello, everybody. Thanks for taking time out today to join us, and thank you for RSA for hosting this. So what I hope to cover today quickly is give you a little background about who we are and what we have been doing historically and where we are today. How is our implementation rollout process working? Because we are actually in a different timeline in that we are just starting the implementation of web-to-print with RSA specifically, and we started that approximately 2 months ago. And so I'll give you an update of some of the challenges we faced and some of the lessons that we learned as we started this update. And then what do we plan to do in terms of next steps? A little background about our center. We have essentially a staff of 50-plus currently. and a budget is roughly around $15 million, and that excludes all the office copying, which is run through us as well, but that's not part of these numbers. We do roughly 1.5 million black impressions, and when we look at 1.5 million, we're looking at essentially 11 by 17, and around 250,000 color at the main copy center. We also have a separate facility primarily dedicated to student support, supporting quick turn resumes and reports and things like that, and a small office work, which is right in the middle of the campus. Our main copy center facility runs 3 shifts 5 days a week, and that's because of the mainframe applications. Our services are pretty much the full gamut that you would find in most university-wide implants, printing, finishing, both offset and digital. We have a data center that's part of our operation, campus mail, bulk mail, and we also respond to for the procurement of the print for the university. So what is not printed here, we actually manage the outsourcing component. Something we just added, and we're actually in the process of installing right now, is a brand new white format and specialty printing center. So we are migrating to essentially doing a lot of 64-inch work, large banners and wallpapers and ground floor displays, things like that, more suited to the latex product, which we are in the process of installing, and that's been the whole. Including a latex, there's been lamination and plotters, and we also just made a little foray into some dye sublimation products, specialty products like mugs and phone cases and things like that that we've just stepped a toe into. We also manage the fleet management program, which is all the office devices, and there's roughly we manage around 1,500 devices across 25 locations in Pennsylvania. So to basically give you a background again quickly of where we've been and where we're going, our history is kind of checkered in terms of web to print. So we started on this process probably 8-9 years ago, actually, was our first foray into web to print. And that included our stationery products. So we built an in-house system to essentially do stationery products, and that's letterhead, business card, and envelopes primarily. And it was a fairly good, robust system in that it allowed you to, create, type in your own information, see a proof, submit it automatically, and then we kind of took it through the PDF workflow. But it had, obviously, it had a lot of challenges. It was built in a Cold Fusion at that point of time. And it was not necessarily very print friendly, and still not. It's still working, actually. That's the system we are currently using for the stationery, but it has very limited growth. In that we've not added any new products in a long time. We haven't been able to update as IT's priorities have changed. At that time, it was a critical priority because I was a new guy and I could, I had the big stick, and so I could make things happen. But now I'm not. And so if you want to do any changes, it becomes a lot more difficult. And so that's been in operation for around eight plus years. We also, probably around six years ago, actually made a first foray into the what you would call the traditional web-to-print, just job order system. And that was because it kind of came to us as part of a package of some equipment that we got. And really, we didn't have any skin in the game, so we just put it on and said, hey, we're in business, we have a web-to-print storefront, come and work with us. And that probably on and off went on for around three to four years before we basically collapsed it because it just wasn't working for varied reasons. And so we actually shutted it down. Currently, we just have the web-to-print piece for the stationery, but we do not have a online web order system for custom job submission. We decided to kind of take a breather, clean up house, and reintroduce ourselves in a brand new way. After a process of discovery, we actually picked a web CRD as a solution. I've been personally following web CRD for many years, and it seemed that it would work for us and for the things that we needed, and it addressed the gaps that our previous system had at that point of time. So we made the jump probably late last year, and then we acquire the software, and I'll come to some of the challenges in that process in a large corporate university environment. But we actually started work on implementation roughly 3 months ago, and on the screen, actually, you see on the right side is actually what our mock-up of our current new storefront is going to look like for the WebCRD piece. So what some of the lessons that we learned through this process is being a university and similarly even in a hospital is that all systems are connected. And you have to engage and have the support of the information technology group. And but they need to be integrally involved in the process. If they're not backing it 100% or if they're not committed to it, the risk and the failure and the complexities are increase exponentially. In our case, even after all the involvement and they were part of the whole process, we still found out that while we went through this process and as we went through some other levels of security clearance at Penn State, we found that our original single sign-on option actually wasn't going to pan out. And we actually had to go back to the drawing board after the original RFP was done and purchase order was cut to reframe the whole authentication process because we stopped at a certain point and then we should have gone on further and actually taken it even further. So that's probably the biggest lesson. As part of that, again, which is kind of a sidebar to it, is that I would think that, involve procurement. One of the quick lessons we learned, and that's also helped slow us down to some significant extent, is that when we send the actual purchase order over to procurement, there was this whole section which we conveniently forgot about, all called T's and C's. By the time to clean the T's and C's, and though there was nothing wrong with them, but just going through legal and risk, et cetera, and who want to underline every word and check every word and recheck every word and protect in every possible way, it set us back probably 30 to 60, probably at least 60 plus days, a couple of months to get those T's and C's cleaned up until we could get some kind of agreement to move forward. So suggestion would be that if you're kind of even inclining towards somebody, send a copy of T's and C's out to the procurement folks and have them look at it in advance while you're working through this. So work that in parallel rather than work that afterwards, because at least what I found, it can be a huge challenge. The first system that we introduced, as I said, we kind of just got it and we put it out there, and everybody owned it, and so nobody owned it. So one of the things that we did, we tried to do this time around, is actually appoint somebody to actually own the system and work with it solely and drive it through our organization. We relieved her of some of her other responsibilities, though she doesn't think that we did. And to open up some time for her to actually work this. And it has helped us a lot, and actually it has compensated for some of the other time lost because we've been able to dedicate somebody who knows all the answers and who can go out and get them quickly and pull everybody together. So I would say that there has to be a person, somebody owning the system who actually has some personal skin in the game to make it work. The third big lesson is our original pilot when we thought. This process three months ago is that we thought we would pilot with the stationary piece, and the logic was that most customers, our current customers, were very used to the stationary piece because they right now we get 60 to 80% of our stationary orders online, and so it seemed as a logical step to start that we just transition that over and those customers would switch easily, and would make it easier for everybody else to embrace it. The challenge in that is developing the templates and lining up the templates. The system is excellent and has so much capabilities that we are actually limiting ourselves by trying to focus it in a small world. So we this basically had to, you know, scratch all that and say, how can we look at it differently where we can take our 8, 10, 15 types of business cards and letterheads and rationalize it to one version which can accommodate all these variables rather than have all these 8, 10 different templates. And what that means is basically a whole lot of template design and a whole lot of template architecture that we are actually working with RSA right now to design and to compensate for. So because of that, we've decided to switch our priorities and say that actually the job order system seems to be the more logical step to start this, because it's submitting jobs, which folks are right now in terms of, you know, because they're emailing it to us and they are. So this is just using a different methodology to do something by doing, while we introduce a whole new web stationary system that will change the current model rather than just import it and make it work. So the stationary seems like a likely switch. I think it's a lot easier and a lot more effective to get traction from experience is to work on the job piece and then migrate the stationary piece. In terms of stationery piece, I would truly suggest that, you know, try to get some professional help, at least for the business cards, because they tend to be the most complex pieces, because of all, especially now with all the variables of everybody wanting, you know, 5 email addresses and the Facebook link and the LinkedIn link and, you know, the Twitter link, et cetera, it's no longer that straight where, you know, 3 lines flies. And requires a lot of background work. And once you get that down, all the other pieces tend to flow very smoothly and very easily. So that part we're actually now using RSA's professional services to actually help us design those templates. And then we will take those lessons learned and then apply that to the other products, which should be a whole lot simpler, primarily business letterheads and envelopes and note cards and things like that. While this is all being worked, we've also partnered with our marketing group, and our marketing group is a centralized service that supports many other operations, including, you know, food services, the hotels, us, parking, to start putting a campaign together as to how we are going to get this message out to the campus. What tools we are going to use, when each piece is going to lined up to get out. So, you know, what is going to be the first announcement? When is it going to be? So it times correctly with the launch site, and so that the two of them work in tandem. And it could include multiple channels and multiple pieces. And one of the things we're actually working with them is, you know, redesign now that the web CRD, the storefront is being redesigned, redesigning a website as well so that it all kind of harmonizes together. And as part of that, it actually is developing a new identity just for the website and for the overall our web presence. So the way I would probably describe it is that it's looking at it as a chain, and the implant is in, or the print shop is in the middle of it, and you have information the infrastructure people on one side and the communication and the marketing group on the other side, and there have to be these interchanges. Because if those interchanges don't work correctly, this whole system doesn't work. So you have to, just like you have a project manager, that somebody try to engage somebody in IT who's a project manager. So just like we have an overall project manager, we have somebody in IT who also manages the project for IT and who's been very helpful in navigating us through the IT world, and including, you know, software procurement, lining up the technology, because our RSA model is that it's residing on a server, but RSA is actually going to maintain it. So it's kind of a shared service, but not the traditional shared service model. They're working with the single sign-on, the authentication piece of tying the web CRD to the billing piece so that everything auto-bills. Working with our firewall so that when if the jobs come in, they can directly go to the print engines and creating the bypasses through the firewalls. all those pieces need to be done up front so that you know if it works, because anything that you design internally, if you design and then if it doesn't work with the IT, it's kind of a wasted effort. So take the time and get those things done up front, because that is probably the most critical. That's your infrastructure that needs to work. Then comes the inside piece, and that's where we are right now. That's the configuration setup. The configuration setup process is very simple. There's multiple screens that you it's essentially a template-based configuration processor. You work through each page along with the RSA folks, and as you work through, they modify and they structure a site based on how you feed them this information. Part of that is creating the whole database, and the database includes things like, you know, what papers are you going to support, what operations are you going to support, what kind of pricing structure are you going to create. Those are things that we need to have in place ready to make this work. So it requires, you know, primarily lining up all the research and saying, okay, these are the papers we're going to support. Today, a lot of the papers actually you can, within the system, you can actually connect it up to the paper house itself and use their codes, because it all imports directly and it copies over and it works very well. So the work is a lot less, but it still requires a lot of pre-planning, especially in terms of those templates. And you should definitely allow sufficient time to do that. Pricing, I don't know, you know, pricing is a challenge. For example, for us, all our standard pricing has to get approved by the controller. So we have to escalate it up and escalate it through our financial chain, and they have to validate it. So allow sufficient time to do that. So essentially...
Yes. We have a couple minutes here, and I want to be able to get to some questions as well. So you're making some great points, but maybe you can wrap up.
Sounds good. So our plan essentially is now that once we get all this, and we hope to get the first piece done in the next by August, that we'll identify 2 to 3 clients that we are going to test it with. Once we test it with the 2 to 3 clients and tune up, then we'll start a soft marketing campaign and roll on one client at a time, rather than blast it out completely. Once we've reached a certain, you know, traction point, then we'll essentially go to public. And as we go to public with our job shop, that's the point we plan to launch the stationery piece again with select clients and go forward. So, thank you for your time, and we're open for questions.
All right, great. Well, thanks, both of you. We do have a few questions in the queue, but I'm going to definitely encourage folks to just feel free to type in the questions section there, hit submit, and I'll read them off. I'll just kind of get in here. Let me pull a couple up here. So one question is, I think Abhash, you might have touched on this, but if this is for both speakers, is your web-to-print solution hosted externally, or is it self-hosted, and why did you make that decision? So maybe Josh
or
Abbas, go right ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Abbas.
Okay. So the way we've done this time is that it is hosted by us. It is hosted on our servers, but it is maintained by RSA. The logic being that we wanted to control the hardware and we wanted to control the access so that it met the security standards. But our IT did not want to invest the resources in doing the maintenance and keeping the updates and because we've done that in the past and we've learned that it doesn't work very well. Over time things tend to, you know, degrade. So this was the best of both worlds, where we own it, resides on our servers, but they do the maintenance and the patching and the updates.
And the same goes for us here at UPMC as well.
Okay, great. Another question. What about how comfortable are you handling confidential material through your web-to-print solution? And one example was like examination papers. Tasha, on your side, I imagine there's all kinds of potentially sensitive data or jobs that could go through. But what are there any issues there in terms of web-to-print and confidential information?
Not necessarily with web-to-print. A lot of our, like, patient health information, all that secure information is sent directly to our QDirect server and printed. It doesn't go through our web-to-print. Now, we do print letters, like patient letters, small variable data projects through our web-to-print. And that's fine. Those stay in there. We haven't had any issues with that at this time.
I said that for us it would be hard to answer because we are in the implementation phase. But again, this is one for us. It's one channel. There's other channels where it is HIPAA requirements and things like that. We essentially follow something similar to what Tosh is talking about, a direct print process. So, for example, we produce all the appointment letters, and that essentially set up as a secure, independent process that that comes in directly from the mainframe rather than through a storefront.
Okay. This one here is for Tasha. You had said that your volume orders have risen 20% versus last year, and what's kind of driving that? Is it the web to print, or are you doing more marketing, or what is it you feel is behind that increase in volume, overall business increase?
The increase in volume is a combination of a lot of things, becoming first right refusal, also letting people know what we're doing, what we can do. The volume's gone up. We are a strictly digital shop. We have no offset equipment over here. So our capacity was pretty limited in terms of speed. We used to not really get orders more than 10 or 15,000 at a time. Now we're getting orders for 40, 50,000, 200,000 pieces. While the order number may stay the same, the volume of impressions that we're getting is going up. And that's a combination of a lot of things, getting out there, telling people what we're all about, getting our new print center, letting people know when that's coming up. That's getting everybody kind of excited about it. So,
mm-hmm. So you got a good new story. You got some new shiny tools. You got some nice
interface. Oh, yes.
You put it all together. It's more business. It's great. This one, let me just kind of read it here. This is from another in-house healthcare organization print service provider. So I guess up here to you, Tasha. Is there an approving official who is putting the final blessing or approval on printing documents such as patient education products to ensure that the information is accurate? So kind of a workflow-related thing. Or do you have anything like that?
You mean for patient education we actually have a patient education team and department that sponsors that. They provide us the final material to print. So it's not directly from the...
Yeah.
Yeah, they are the approval.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. Again, I got another one popped in here. Let me see if I can get to it. How do you bill and do job ticketing when a request goes directly to QDirect?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that one more time?
Sure thing. How do you bill and do job ticketing when a request goes directly to QDirect? I think that was for you, Tasha.
We get a report back at the end of every month based on the number of volumes, and we know all the job types that get sent directly to QDirect that do not go through our web to print solution. There's a naming structure that identifies them, and we get a report from RSA at the end of every month for our billing.
Okay. Let's see, what else do we got here? A couple came in a little bit earlier. Let's see, what is the best way to handle job pricing with online job submission? So how do you set your pricing, and are there all kinds of volume discounting that you're able to do or things of that nature?
I think you've got to make it attractive enough to where there's some, for example, let us give our example, where we are going through a transition. Our current model is they just send us stuff, and we just take care of it. So now we're actually going to ask our customers to do some more, right? I mean, they're actually going to take some ownership about things that right now they don't take ownership for at all. So why would they want to do that? Especially, in a service model where, where they could go to an outside entity and just do the same thing. So there has to be a price difference. And for example, for even our stationary pieces, we have a tiered pricing where if you do X, our price is X, X minus something, and then if you do some more, then our price drops. And so we tend to follow the same model, that because it's for us, we can't have this as the sole point. We will still be supporting other ways to do business, and so the until it becomes second nature, to make it second nature, we have to create the incentives. And so that's how we tend to price it, is by creating incentives for them to use the system rather than use the manual or just an email.
I'll ask a question. Can you maybe briefly describe, and we'll start with you, Tasha, you know, kind of how you put the business case together or the budgeting for your Web Difference system, or perhaps some extensions that you've done since then? And then, you know, I'd hear your perspective after that, Abbas.
Well, I wasn't here when they did the initial purchase of our Web Difference solution and did the implementation, but since then, a lot of it has been driven by time, speed, meeting our turnaround times. Are we meeting our turnaround times? Why not? Really in-depth dive into that. How much time is our pre-press department taking? Because their time is money. So that was a big part of it. Also, why are our end users not coming? Is it because of turnaround time? So what is our cost versus outside costs for those jobs that did go outside due to lack of turnaround time or efficiency of our print center?
How about you, Abbas? What's kind of been the
business case?
There's
two or three pieces to this. You know, one is obviously the need to update our systems. As I said, we have a stationary alone standalone system. We had a traditional copy center billing system for, you know, that we were using. We had a web to print piece. So this allowed us to integrate everything, and those soft savings are huge in terms of IT opening up time. And the ability to increase business, because now if we have a valid system that we can continuously update and create new products, it will definitely help us, especially since we're trying to introduce a whole bunch of new things around white format and specialty products that we can push out very quickly, because, you know, every time they go to the web print the direction to enter a job, they'll see these products as available as well. The other piece is time efficiencies. If you can move the jobs quicker, and if you can have less touch points, it generates savings. So it pays. We believe it pays for itself fairly quickly and fairly efficiently. Not in terms of for us increased revenue, but reducing operational cost and increasing customer satisfaction.
Okay, and then we'll have one last question here. You know, for the printing that's submitted, are either Penn State or UPMC billing or charging each department on a chargeback system? Is it tied in with a purchase order process or purchase order number?
Go ahead, Tasha.
We bill at the end of the month on a chargeback system. We once again get one report from our software that has all of our accounting information in it whenever the order is placed, and we submit that into accounting for monthly chargeback.
Actually, we use a budget system, and so every when every job, the way the system is going to set up is that it authenticates the budget against our university budgeting system to see if this is a valid budget. And then if it's a valid budget, it will process the order, and then the information gets dumped into the university financial system and gets direct billed. But the system is set up as part of the authentication process actually to go out every night and get a dump compared to our budgets, because our budgets can change on any given day, and match it up and to see that this is an actual real budget and not a fake budget to bill it. Or the customer can say, you know, I'm going to pay by credit card or cash. It's not set up to do that, but it'll recognize that, and in that case, it won't go out and do that. It'll just say, okay, you know, at the end of the job, come in and pay.
Okay, well, you know, I'm just going to close with a couple last comments. I think from what I've heard and chatting with you folks, some of the success factors are certainly implant managers who are actively engaged. And, Tosh, a lot of things you talked about in terms of listening and working closely with the groups, and certainly your experience, Abbas, working with IT, and then ultimately getting to a coordinated launch and marketing program. And I think you've got a lot of good things to talk about. There's a reason to communicate and get customers to kind of think about you a little bit differently and help, you know, grow awareness and bring jobs back in-house. The other thing I've noted here is I think web to print often gets associated with just sort of job submission, but clearly there's a lot more that goes beyond that. It provides all kinds of ordering and control, be it template-based, you know, jobs. We didn't get too much into the composition and variable data printing, but I know some of that's going on as well. And then approval and workflow, cost accounting, all those kind of things not only have efficiencies for your organization, but actually, you know, across your company or your business unit. So just some great perspectives there. A couple of last housekeeping things. There are a variety of additional resources that you can find at the Rochester Software site, and I definitely encourage you to go check some of those out. There's some great case studies. There's some other webinars and things you can listen to and hear the previous one to this one, so I definitely encourage you to check those out. And just lastly here, we want to thank you for your time. We know it's, you all got busy days and a lot of things you got to work through. Certainly go back to the Implant Graphics site if you want to rehear any of this stuff. And we encourage you to take a minute to fill out the brief survey just so we can, keep you informed and always improve. So, again, thanks so much, and look forward to participating in a future webinar.